following tape program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, it's the beginning of a new week, and we've got amazing shows lined up for you this week. There will be no best of shows this week, I can promise you that. We're going to be covering everything from how to build those massive calves, a no-bull calf training approach with my good friend, Brooks Kubik. Later in the show, we'll have Professor Filimonov on. We're going to answer your questions about IGF-1, long R3, and mechanogrowth factors, as well as some other peptide questions that came in after the last peptide show we did. And the rest of the week just falls into place just like that. Amazing shows. If you are not part of the Superhuman Radio listener newsletter, go to superhumanradio.com and enter your email address and information. I promise you, the only thing you'll get from us is periodically we'll let you know what shows are coming up. I'm going to be sending out a show notice later this evening of this rest of the week's lineup, and you're not going to want to miss it. One thing I want to mention. As you know, I sell nothing, and the sponsors of this show make the show possible. And you've heard me say that before. Whenever possible, patronize the sponsors. And I know my audience is the best audience, and I mean that sincerely. You guys buy products from sponsors all the time. I know this for a fact. Sometimes the sponsors don't know that you learned about them or that you're a fan of Superhuman Radio. So always, whenever possible, in the notes section, in the comment section, to let advertisers know that their advertising dollars are working for them, always let them know that you listen to Superhuman Radio. This is especially true when ordering from True Protein. I know that a lot of you may be using other coupon codes, maybe a friend of yours who has his own little business, so you're using his coupon code so that he can get his free protein or whatever it is that they give to these individuals. We have a coupon code on our website, SH Radio. I get nothing in return for that. You get a 5% discount, but it allows True Protein to track my listeners to say, wow, the advertising dollars we're spending with Superhuman Radio is paying off. So if you are using someone else's coupon code, I'm not suggesting that you stop, but make sure that you put in the comment section or wherever you can that you listen to Superhuman Radio so that they know that you are a fan of the show and their advertising dollars are going somewhere. And that's true. No bull calf training. Most of us don't have good calves. I don't. And my good friend Brooks Kubik is here to solve that problem. How you doing, Brooks?
Doing well, Carl. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so the calves seem to be, like the forearms, some of the hardest muscles to get to respond to exercise. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Yeah, and the reason you say no is because it will respond when you know what you're to do to get them to respond.
Absolutely. And the reason I say yes is that most people have a lot of difficulty in getting the calves to respond.
Right, because they're doing the wrong things. And this is something you and I learned in a previous show, feel very strongly about the proper way to train calves. So let's get started. First of all, what are the number one mistake, number two mistake, and number three mistake that people make when training calves, in your opinion?
Well, let me hold that question for just a second, and let me just underscore the mistake aspect.
Okay.
Do you remember a Mr. America winner named Chris Dickerson?
Of course.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay? Man had phenomenal calf development.
Right.
Just absolutely incredible.
Right.
Okay? Now, I have read, Arthur Jones, the inventor of the Nautilus equipment, wrote this. I've read it from Arthur Jones. Don't know if it's true, but this is what I've read. That Chris Dickerson was one of two surviving identical triplets.
Hmm.
And his brother, his identical twin brother, had better calves. and the brother had never trained.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that makes you stop and think and go, whoa.
Well, genetics play a role in calf development.
Genetics play an incredible role in calf development.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, if it were just genetics, Chris Dickerson, who trained his calves, should have had better calves than his brother, who did not train.
Ah, I see where you're going now. Okay.
In other words, the training that he did
was not effective.
Was not effective. Yeah. In fact, according to Arthur Jones, it was counterproductive. And you said, what are the mistakes that people make? The number one mistake is the lightweight, lots of sets, lots of reps, lots of exercises, pump it up with short, fast, snappy little movements, boom, 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 approach to calf training.
And let me ask you in a rhetorical question why that is,
sure.
But is it not because the calves do that sort of thing all day long when you're walking and running up the stairs and catch the bus and going in, I saw someone, one of our listeners, Michelle, Hebert, I hope I got her name right because I remember reading it the other day. I think it was her. She has one of those pedometers and she was keeping track and she walked, and I believe she works for the post office. I don't know that she's a letter carrier, but maybe she is. I remember her saying something about she logged like 23,000 steps that day. 23,000 steps that day.
Yeah, and
that's 23,000. That's divide that in half, right?
Yeah.
And that's what is that? 1,300.
11,500
steps per repetitions per leg.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's the whole point. That's what people fail to understand when they think about calf training. In ordinary life, you do thousands upon thousands of reps with not very much weight. It's your body weight, and if you're doing one step at a time, it's like doing a single leg calf raise. Okay, so the one foot is responsible for all the weight, but that's still not a very heavy weight. That's not a lot of weight, and your muscles are used to it. They're used to it because you do it all day long.
Now I have to ask you a question.
Yeah,
the whole debate between fast twitch and slow twitch, and so what would you say the calf muscles are predominantly made of? Fast twitch, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to be training these muscles for training purposes. You want to train them for strength and speed and power. You don't want to train them for endurance because
they already have that.
They already have that in spades. And yeah, you know, you've got tons of readers who are into the paleo diet in all of its various permutations, hunter-gatherer, you know, all of that. Well, okay, let's go back to the whole hunter-gatherer lifestyle. What do? You walk, you jog a whole lot all day long, and then there are bursts of very fast movement, sprinting, top speed, as you're chasing something or as something is chasing you.
Right.
And what you want to do when you're training the calves is assume that you have, through that evolutionary development, has done all the endurance work that you need for those calves. What you need to do is train them for strength.
Right. And in such a way that they are unaccustomed to the work that is being done. And I say that specifically because it's important that you recognize that the work that you're about to do for your calves has to be something that they do not see day in and day out. And what don't your calves see day in and day out, Brooks Kubik?
They do not see heavy effort. And the other thing that they don't see is what you alluded to in the earlier program we did where you mentioned your secret to calf training. It's that full extension under a massive weight load and holding it
until you can't hold it any longer.
Exactly.
And you know what happens? Your muscles start to quiver and quake as you try to stay up on the balls of your feet. And interestingly enough, your hips will begin to give out before your calves. You'll feel yourself start wobbling in the middle of your body. That's how strong your calves are. But as your calves start to give out, the balls of your feet will start to vibrate and your muscles will start to quiver. Your calf muscles will start to quiver. And that's what you want, because that quivering, as it was told to me by a neurologist decade ago, is new muscle fibers that were not originally recruited to do the work having to kick in. The body is going, hey, you guys have been sitting here watching this. We need you now. We can't hold on to this anymore. So now new nerves are firing that don't typically fire, and new muscle fibers are starting to work. You are making new inroads into a greater degree of muscle activation in that muscle. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And that really, you know, that is strength training for any part of the body in a nutshell. You stimulate the nervous response to fire, to recruit as many muscle fibers as you can. Okay. And with the calves, by their nature, and part of it, I think, is related to the fact that the calf raise movement, which is the basic movement to build the calves, is a very short range movement.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's a couple of inches. It's not complex, and you don't need a lot of deep concentration, focus, motor skill to do it. And that's I think one reason why people tend to do sloppy reps, boom, 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 bounce up and down. You know, partial reps. You see a lot of guys doing a partial range of movement.
Yeah, they just stay sometimes, like in between the top and the bottom, and they just bounce, and then they bounce. A lot of guys just bounce, and they don't realize it's not the muscle, it's the ligaments and tendons that are doing all the work when you're just bouncing.
Yeah, and they've never connected with that triggering of the nervous system to send more nerve impulses to the muscle, deep into the belly of the muscle, to recruit as many fibers as possible. And it only happens if you do a slow rep under a really, really heavy load. And I'm going to make a note. I don't usually say that because I'm not a fan of slow motion training or you know, any of that.
Right.
I'm a pile the iron on the bar, lift heavy. But when you do calves, you have to do two things. One is you have to pile iron on, you have to lift heavy. But the other thing is you've got to slowly, through muscle power, move into that fully extended position. And then, as you said, hold it and really, you know, really resist the weight until you get as many muscle fibers into play as you can.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll pick it up with Brooks Cubic. We're talking about training those calves. You know what? A lot of people don't like to train calves because they put a lot of work into it and nothing. But when you listen to this show and the secrets that you learn from this show, you'll be able to go in and pound your calves in less time and get them to respond. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Right again. Wiggle we tongue. Right again. Everybody go hype again. You better run or sing again.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Orbit Nutrition is blowing out Genomics products. They have their nutrient partitioner SlimSane, which will ensure that more of your food goes to muscle and less fat. And Protocol, which is a pre- and intra-workout supplement that will help you pound out harder during your exercise. And they also have a fat burner called Heat. We did a show on fat burners the other day. Little did I know that Genomics has one of the best fat burners on the market. Go to orbitnutrition.com today and check out the Genomics product line and let them know Carl sent you. Okay, Brooks Kubik, let's get back into action here to talk about this fun subject about no bull calf building tactics. I have to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What is your opinion of doing calf raises barefoot? I mean, I do them in my five fingers, so it's almost barefoot, but I have enough neoprene Vibram underneath my foot that I don't feel the pressure of that diamond plate. But Arnold and a lot of the guys back in the day used to do all their calf work barefoot.
I think it's a really good way to do it. I think that you get more feel if you're doing it that way. And the calves, as I say, the whole thing is linking the mind and the calf. You know, linking the mind and the muscle. It's, you know, you've got to figure out how to control the calves. You've got to get those nervous impulses firing. And for a lot of guys, doing barefoot calf raises is absolutely the way to go. Now, if you don't have a good piece of equipment, I mean, you know, if you're doing calf raises on something where the rubber pad is there's not enough rubber, it's cutting in, it's not the right size, it's taking away from the feel of the movement because it's just, you know, not very well designed, you know, then you've got a problem.
Right.
And, you know, Arnold and those guys, Arnold Draper, all those guys back in the day, you were always seeing pictures of them often doing their calf work with, homemade blocks that someone had nailed together by, you know, using
right.
2x4s and 4x4s. Well, there was a reason for that, and the reason was simply if the piece of equipment didn't work, they would work around it and come up with something better, often made out of wood, that did.
And it should also be said that these guys were at Muscle Beach, hence the word beach, and they were running in sand, and they were, you know, when you live and a life of a beachcomber, so to speak,
yeah.
You really do a lot of things barefoot to begin with.
Well, if you're spending a lot of time barefoot, you're used to being barefoot. Your toes are stronger. The bottom of your feet are stronger. Ankles are stronger. And so doing calf work barefoot is a natural.
To me, doing calf work barefoot, which the next best thing, in my opinion, and which really is better than barefoot, mm-hmm. is to wear a pair of five fingers because you have some rubber
You have some protection, but you have all of the full flexion and mobility of your toes that you would barefoot. To me, doing calf work barefoot is like using a fat bar when doing curls. It allows you to activate a lot more muscles in your legs than you would if your toes were all strapped together, so to speak, inside of a shoe.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's a good point. There's another clothing related issue on the whole calf thing.
Okay.
And this one also goes back to Muscle Beach and Arnold and so on, and it really goes back to Larry Scott. And that's this. A lot of guys, when they start training, they're wearing sweatpants, full-length sweatpants. And what they found is, as long as they kept doing that, they kept having small calves. And it was not until, and Larry Scott did this, and Arnold did it, it was not until they cut the sweatpants off right below the knees.
Really?
Yeah, so they could look at those calves and see them and think, gosh, that's embarrassing. Those are too small. I need to work them harder. I need to make them grow. And, you know, if you think about it, a lot of gyms have, you know, mirrors all over the walls. And you can argue about whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing. But the interesting thing is the mirrors often start at about knee height or a little bit higher. They don't start at calf height. They don't start at the ground.
So the old adage, out of sight, out of mind, plays into calf development.
Absolutely. You know, it's the same reason why so many guys don't train their backs or don't train them as hard as they should. It's out of sight, out of mind. And
right.
Calves are the same way. You've got to keep them in the forefront. You know, if you're really serious about working them, you've got to keep them in the forefront of your consciousness. And again, that kind of thinking ties into the whole mind muscle connection.
Right.
You got to be thinking about those calves.
Right.
You got to be saying, I am going to take you little calves, and I am going to grow you into great big bulls.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's you know what? And that totally went over my head. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about that, but you're right. And I thought you were going to say, start talking about the katsu method of training, where they started putting, you know, and which by the way, there's something to be said about this, a loose elastic band at the knee to congest the calf muscle with more blood may actually prove to have a value. Are you familiar with that katsu Japanese training method where they used a blood pressure cuff to cut off the circulation in the biceps and the bicep training, and the increase in anabolic hormones and growth factors was so profound?
I'm not familiar with that, or I hadn't been before you mentioned it, but that's very interesting, very intriguing.
Yeah, you could get some. Now you have to be careful, because you don't want to completely cut the blood flow off. You just want to make it a little harder for the blood to get back out of the muscle, so it causes a little bit more congestion than if it wasn't there. So you don't want to tourniquet around your knee, you know, where your knee is.
Mm-hmm.
But you want something that'll put just gentle pressure on the vasculature that leads down into the leg. And maybe right above the knee, where the back of the knee and the top of the knee are, if you were to put a gentle elastic band there, and then do your calf work, you'll find that your calves will get swollen, pumped. And there's a lot of evidence that that will help them grow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of competitive powerlifters have really big calves. And they get them from heavy squats, and they also, when they squat, they wrap their knees.
Oh my God! I never thought about that. You're right.
Ta-da. Yeah.
And that cuts the. I mean, that really is the katsu method right there.
Yeah, yeah. That puts a lot of pressure on your calves. If you've done heavy competitive powerlifting and wrapped your legs really tight. I'm not talking about just throwing wraps on loose.
Yeah, you can't walk. You can't walk.
Yeah.
You got to walk. Your leg is a peg. You kind of wobble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
Interesting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there you go. There's another pearl of wisdom. Try employing the katsu method. What movements are best now that we've discussed, you know, the style of training that you should look for, and the fact that you should be able to see your calves while you're training. What should people be doing?
Okay. Well, let me give some conventional exercises and then some more unconventional exercises.
Okay.
But first I want to preface this with a little bit of a warning, and that is, if you're listening to the show and you're all pumped up about going out and training your calves really hard, take it slow and easy. You can get so incredibly intensely sore with heavy calf work, and you literally will not be able to walk.
Yeah.
And I've done that. I mean, when I was a kid, read an article about calf training, went crazy on it, and, you know, like, I was crippled for a couple of days. I was hobbling around like I was 80 years old, and I was only 15 or 16. So,
yeah.
You know, slow and steady.
Here's what I want to do, Brooke.
Sure.
We're out a minute and a half to the next break.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take the break early.
Okay.
So that way when we come back, we can focus on the types of movements that people should be doing to take those calves and turn them into big, fat bulls.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com. I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Now we're going to get down to business. You understand the type of work that needs to be done. Now what machines, devices, and procedures are you going to use to stimulate that calf development? And Brooks is going to let us know that right now. All right, where do you want to start, Brooks?
Start with the basics. If you want to grow your lower legs, you've got to be doing the two number one growth exercises for the entire body, squats and deadlifts.
Really?
Yeah. You want big arms? Do squats and deadlifts. You want shoulder development? Squats and deadlifts. You want lower legs? Squats and deadlifts. And, you know, go back to those power lifters. A lot of power lifters do very, very little calf training, and they've got really big, thick, strong calves.
Right.
Squats, deadlifts. So do not simply go on a program of calf specialization or calf focus and think that's going to do the trick. You've got to be doing all-around training, and as I said, that comes down to squats, deadlifts. So you're doing those, and then you work in one calf exercise. Now, a lot of calf routines have, you know, they want you to do four or five, six different exercises, hit the muscle from all angles, et cetera. That is, you know, the title of the show is No Bull Calf Development.
Right.
Well, in my opinion, the every exercise under the sun has a little bit of the bull or the BS aspect to it. And that's simply because your calves are a simple muscle. They're not complex. They don't need to be hit with a variety of different movements. What they need, as we mentioned earlier, is to be hit hard in ways that they're not used to handling. So I think one exercise that you work hard and heavy and seriously, very intensely, is better than doing a lot of exercises where you spread your effort through a lot of different movements. You can use different movements, but use one for 6 weeks, then move into something else for 6 weeks. Don't try to do them all in the same training cycle. So your exercises. Number one, probably the best movement, is your basic standing calf raise using a calf machine. If you don't have a calf machine, a good substitute is a power rack and a barbell with the pin set, you know, up at the top position. But your best bet is the calf machine. Let me make a note. Anytime you're doing heavy calf training, particularly with a calf raise machine, a lot of machines are designed so you can lay your hands on the upper portion of the machine, kind of keep your balance.
Right.
Be very careful that the moving part of the bar is not moving up and down over your hands.
Okay.
Okay, saw a guy one time slip. He had like 600 pounds on the machine. He had his thumbs right underneath the movement arm, and he just about lost a thumb.
Should the knees be just gently bent, gently broken, or should they be locked out when you're doing calf work, on a standing calf work? Because obviously we have two different muscles we're going to be talking about here.
Yeah. I like to do them with a very slight bend in the knees. And the reason that I like doing them that way is that when I was a kid, I read that Reg Park did them that way. And, you know, so I just started doing them that way. And, you know, I think it takes a little bit of pressure off of
the knee. Yeah, it does. I mean, I've actually seen guys give themselves a bucket handle tear in the meniscus by standing completely locked out and doing heavy calf raises. And
really?
Yeah. Because they step in. Because think about it. You step in, right? Your legs are bent, right?
Yep.
You load the weight on your shoulders by standing up straight.
Yep.
So you have all this weight against the meniscus. What happens when the knee tries to straighten out with all that weight on it? It actually pushes the meniscus, flattens it out, and pushes it out in the direction that the knee is opening to.
Ouch.
Right? And now that little bit of meniscus is caught between the bones. Now you're pushing up and down, up and down, up and down, and you're basically taking the upper and lower portion of that joint and making it pinch the meniscus. And if you're using heavy enough weight, you can cut right into it, and there you go. You got a bucket handle tear. And the sure telltale sign of this is when you get off of the calf machine, you notice that you can't lock your leg out all the way. It's like, what the? I feel like, you know, you ever see how they lock a crab's or a lobster's claw with one of those pieces of wood so you can't pinch you when you're saying, hey, I want to eat that one?
Yeah.
It's like that. It gets caught in the knee, and then it could take days to find its way back. But once it's torn, it will always find its way back out and cause problems later on.
Mm.
So always, I say always bent knee,
Anything that's load-bearing, always bent knees. So.
Well, you'll find that it's a very powerful position, have a lot of strength and a lot of control. And what I like about it is it's a bit more of a mind thing, because you have to keep your leg at the right position, as opposed to when you lock and it's straight, you don't have to think about it.
Right.
You know, I like these subtle things that kind of, you know, keep the mind locked into the movement. So, that's why I do it. But that's, you know, your insight there is a pretty good one and a pretty valuable one for folks listening to the show.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a calf machine, calf raise machine, I like 5x8, 5x10, 5x12, something like that. And that's the entire workout. You know, you don't need endless sets. You don't need endless reps. What you need is something that's, you know, hard and heavy. If you want, do some warm-up sets, particularly if you're an older trainee, do warm-up sets. Work up progressively. And you don't really need to warm your calf muscles up that much. The calf muscles, per se, can basically jump into the heavy weights. But you want to make sure that your ankles are able to handle the load. And also sometimes you need to warm your feet up a little bit. And again, this is particularly important for older lifters. Older lifters need to be really careful of their ankle and their foot. I think I mentioned on the show once before, professional football players, at a certain age, the most common injury is to the ankle.
Right.
It's not the knee, it's the ankle. And the reason is there's not much blood flow in the ankle joint, and so it requires a bit of warming up. Now, if you do not have a calf raise machine, a real good alternative that's available to just about anyone is make yourself a block using 2x4s, 4x8s, whatever, good sturdy block to stand on, heavy dumbbell in one hand, put the block close to a wall so you can lean against the wall to keep your balance, and do one-legged calf raises. And the one-legged calf raise with a dumbbell in the hand, you then have your body weight, you have the dumbbell, and when you go up and hold that tight position on one foot, now you've got a little bit of a balancing thing going. And again, that brings into play a lot, a lot of the
mind
neurological,
muscle. Right.
The mind muscle thing. Yeah. Arthur Jones, the inventor of the Nautilus equipment, at one point in his life, basically, he would invent a piece of exercise equipment for any part of the body. I mean, there were endless Nautilus machines that he was making. One machine that he refused to make was a Nautilus machine for doing calf raises. And the reason he refused to do so, even though people were begging for it, was, in his opinion, completely unnecessary, because all you need is a block of wood to stand on, a wall for balance, a heavy dumbbell for weight, and that's it. Do one-legged dumbbell calf raises.
Right.
So those are two really good exercises.
What about I see guys doing I'm sorry for this. I should have discussed this earlier in the show. We have two muscle groups in the calves. We're talking about the gastrocnemius and the I'm going to forget the name of it now. The gastroc and the soleus. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the gastroc is hit harder when the knee is closer to straight.
Mm-hmm.
And the soleus is hit harder when the knee is bent. But with that being said, I see guys doing basically calf raises, but on a 75-degree leg press machine. They load it. They get their balls of their feet all the way at the bottom, and they're bouncing that plate up and down, up and down, up and down. Is that an effective calf raise, do you think?
I don't think it's effective if you're bouncing it up and down. I think if you're doing the kind of movement that we've talked about, where, you know, it's a slow, powerful push followed by an isometric hold, then it's okay.
See, and this is the thing. People are going to have to check their egos at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Most people use way too much weight when they're training calves, in my opinion. I see guys, they go up and they get the whole stack. They stand up underneath the calf machine, and they basically bounce. Their calves aren't even working. It's the space between their vertebrae and the jangling of their hips and the stretching and contracting of their ligaments that is doing all the work.
they're moving the weight, but they're not moving it with the calf muscles.
Right.
Yeah. And what I'm trying to say to people is, you want to control the weight. You want to control the calf muscles. It's all about control. It's about linking mind and muscle. And to do that, you need the right weight. If it's too light, then then there's no link, because you're not pulling in, you're not recruiting additional muscle fibers. So you need a heavy enough weight to cause the recruitment of additional muscle fibers and to exhaust muscle fibers on each rep. But you don't want such a heavy weight that you're not really able to work the muscles you're trying to work.
Well, let's do some. I'm sorry to do this to you, Brooks. I'm just looking at time. Let's talk about some of the non-conventional movements real quick, because then we're going to take a break.
Okay. Non-conventional movements. This is what, if you're familiar with my with my writing, Dinosaur Training, you know that I'm going to be talking about this. Strongman events, strongman-style training, carrying heavy weight, very heavy farmer's walk with farmer's walk implements, not dumbbells because you won't be able to get them heavy enough. You want heavy farmer's walk implements.
Right.
Dragging heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Pulling a sled hits your calves.
Pushing heavy stuff.
Right.
I attended a strongman competition one time. There was a female competitor who had the most massive calves you've ever seen in your life on a man or a woman, and they looked spectacular on her. She was just drop-dead killer gorgeous. The guys were standing there. They were amazed when they saw her calf muscles flexing when she was dragging a heavy weight sled as one of the events. They asked me how she got those calves. I said her secret was, when she's not training, she wears high heels. Go home and try it. Carl, I actually think some of them did so.
Oh, you were just joking. I was going to say, that's
joking, man.
Okay. So I won't do that then. Okay.
Don't do that. But the non-conventional training, the dragging, pulling, pushing stuff will build really strong, powerful legs from top to bottom, from hips to toes.
And again, think why. To come full circle to what we started out talking about the show, you have to train your calves in a way that they are not accustomed to getting that kind of work every day. Your calves are used to getting lots of light, high repetition. You know, like we talked about Michelle. She had logged 23,000 steps in a day. Guess what? That's 23,000 reps. Split it by two legs. So that's not going to get the job done, sitting there and repping out. Now, when you're pushing a heavy sled or pulling a heavy sled, you're not doing high reps, but your calves are working. They're pushing hard and slow and digging in. And I really believe if you want really great calf development, buy yourself a pair of five fingers, because that's the closest thing to being barefoot. It really is. Let's do this, Brooks. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more about calf training. We'll talk with Brooks Kubik. You can learn more about him. Which website do you want people to go to, Brooks?
www.brookscubic.com.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it stops going, the whole world shakes. The storm was blowing.
Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we'll have Professor Philip Filimonov on talking more about peptides, part two of a show that we started quite some time ago. Right now, we're talking with Brooks Kubik about how to build bulls out of those little calves you're standing on right now. All right, so in summary, I think the real magic, not necessarily with what movement you do, but how you do it. I'd like to just add one thing to the discussion.
Sure.
Static holds for the calves. If you don't have a lot of time to train your calves, like me, I end up training my calves at the end of leg day. I'm usually pretty exhausted already.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's worked for me, and I've said it before on the show, is to load the calf leg machine with some considerable weight and get in there and do one or two good reps all the way down. Feel it stretching in the back of your heels up into the calf all the way up until you're standing on the balls of your feet. And this is easier to do in a set of five fingers than it is in a regular sneakers. Or if you want to go barefoot, if the plate on your machine allows you to go barefoot without like creating little chips in the bottom of your, the bones in your feet. One or two good, deep, hard reps, get all the way up into that top position and hold it. Hold it until the calf muscles begin to fail and they start to come. You can't hold it anymore. You're coming down. And you'll find that your hips will give out sooner, believe it or not, is what I found out. But when you come down, get off the machine, you won't be able to walk. You will not be able to straighten your legs out. You'll walk like somebody who just stepped on nails. After your legs come back to normal, do this again. Do this 3 or 4 times. It won't take any time at all to do this, trust me. I promise you that your calves will respond. Your calves will grow. Your calves are not, the one thing your calves are not used to doing is static resistance against super heavy weight. That's what they're not used to. That's what it takes. Something atypical to get the calves to respond. What would you say to that, Brooks?
Absolutely. I mean that's exactly what I've been talking about. And the reason is, again, you link the mind, you link the muscles, you start firing those nervous impulses, and when you're up in that static hold position, you know, the muscles are just fighting to hold the weight.
Right.
And it takes a tremendous amount of mental focus combined with absolute 100% muscle intensity, and that's what builds muscle. Well, one interesting point on, people do a lot of heavy lockouts and static hold work with very, very heavy weights, sometimes in exercises where what they're really doing is they're training tendons, they're training ligaments, they're training the bone strength.
Right.
Such as quarter squats, for example, bench press lockouts. But think about it, the static hold that Carl is talking about is something that works the muscle. Not the ligaments, not the tendons,
right,
muscle.
Right, not the geometry and kinesiology of the joint, which may give you better leverages.
Yep.
Once it's locked, now the muscle is fighting for itself.
Yeah, and that is why Arthur Jones said you don't need a special calf machine. Because the geometry of the human body is such that the calf raise movement is a perfect exercise. In that peak contraction position, the top position, where all the muscle is contracted, you have all the resistance right on the muscle. You know, and so from his perspective, he always said calves were the easiest muscle in the world to build.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see why.
For that very reason.
Right. Right.
Yeah, or what he would say if to more accurately is calves are the easiest muscle in the world to build to your genetic potential.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we've given people food for thought on how to build calves. It doesn't take a lot of work to build your calves either. It's a very, very small muscle group. What about paying attention to the soleus, doing seated toe raises on the seated toe raise machine?
But as you said, that's the second part of the program, and the seated calf raise movement to work the soleus is, you know, the icing on the cake. And again, same principles apply. You don't want fast, short movements. You want a slow, controlled movement with intense contraction at the top of the movement. You want a heavy weight to stimulate the muscle fibers and recruit more and more muscle fibers to do the lifting as you progress through the set. But you don't want so heavy a weight that all you're doing is bouncing up and down and
right.
using sloppy form. I mean, you know, this should be one of those slow, purposeful movements. And that purposeful is a word I'm using by choice. It's very important.
You know what I've learned how to tell if I'm working my calves properly?
What's that?
Okay. You can do 23,000 steps a day, and you will get no lactate buildup in your calves.
Yeah.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. But when you train your calves properly, they start burning, searing pain very, very quickly because they're going, wait a minute, I'm not used to this. This is congesting a lot of blood in me. I'm used to pumping in and out, And you're making me hold this weight like this? I'm burning up now. You'll start to develop searing, burning lactate buildup in your calves when you're training them properly. Overcoming the pain is going to be one of the greatest obstacles to your progress. You have to embrace the pain. When you feel that pain, that's when the work begins.
Yeah. And that, by the way, is another reason why, again, folks listening to the show need to break into these new training methods gradually, sanely, and sensibly, particularly if they're older trainees.
Hey, Brooks, we're coming to the end of the interview. I want to give you a chance. I just learned today that you have a new book release.
We have a new book. We're doing a pre-publication special. And what that means is the book is at the printer. It's not printed yet, but if you place an order now, you get a bonus with the order when we fill the order. We fill all orders as soon as the books come in, which will probably be about 6 to 8 weeks. But the book is about a man named John Davis, a Brooklynite.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you've been asking me to write a book about a guy from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, I know.
And, you know, I thought, okay,
Brooks, I thought you were going to write about me.
John Davis, check this out. Guy starts training as a teenager in Brooklyn, New York, in the 30s. In less than 2 years, he wins the World Weightlifting Championship. in less than 2 years training.
Right.
Youngest world champion in history. Went on to be undefeated for 15 years in international competition. He was world champion, world record holder, Olympic gold medalist. He was the best lifter of his era. And it's absolutely amazing that people have forgotten that here in the United States, and I'm sorry if I sound patriotic, but I am. Here in the United States, there was a time when we had the greatest Olympic weightlifters in the world. We were the supreme. We were the champions. We beat the Russians. John Davis beat the Russians.
Right.
He was so good that at one Olympics, the Russians refused to enter a heavyweight to compete against him.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? I mean, that unparalleled, never happened in any other sport. The Russians never backed down. They backed down from John Davis. And what I've done, John Davis is dead. Can't interview him. But what I've done is I've gone back through all the old magazines, all the old resources, and on top of that, I've talked to John's friends, his teammates on World and Olympic Championship teams, his training partners. I've done an extensive interview of a man who trained with him in 1940 who gave me the John Davis training program that he used in 1940, the year that he was awarded the title of best weightlifter in the entire world, pound for pound, in any weight class. And I've got his training routine that, to my knowledge, has never been published before.
Wow.
You know, and that's the kind of information that I'm getting from people and putting in this
book.
Do
you think that's where the magic is with him, that it was his training routine?
Yes, because his training program was very, very different than what most people did. It was in some ways 20 or 30 years ahead of his time.
Right.
And it was very purposeful, what I've been told by other Olympic weightlifting champions who were on teams with him, who saw him train, was that his training was very scientific. It was perfect for him. It was exactly what he needed. And you know, a lot of people, whether they're doing bodybuilding or powerlifting or Olympic lifting or strongman or whatever, they're using cookie-cutter training programs.
Right.
Someone else's program.
Right.
You know, you got guys go on Facebook, give me a program. You know, give me a workout of the day. Whatever. You know, it's like, no, you need to figure out for yourself what is best for you.
Right.
And that is what John Davis was able to do. It's really amazing that this kid from Brooklyn, you know, as a teenager with no coach, was able to do this.
Wow.
It's just, you know, you're like, you know, it's sort of like a Beethoven or a Mozart, a child prodigy.
Right.
It's the same sort of thing. So have a book coming out on him. It's, as I said, we're pre-selling it now with a special bonus. It's on the www.brookscubic.com website. The title is Black Iron, The John Davis Story, and it's really going to be a killer book.
Okay, and Brooks Cubic is BrooksCubic.com for those of you out there who want to go check out the book. How much is the book going to retail for?
$34.95.
And a lot of work. This is a one-of-a-kind book, right? Nobody's written about this guy before.
No one has written a book about him before. It's completely unique. It's a big book, too. It's going to be 7x10 and close to 400 pages.
Wow.
With, get this, unpublished photos. No one has seen some of the photos that are going to be in this book.
Wow.
And you're going to see, if you order the book, you're going to see in color his Olympic gold medals.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool stuff.
That's amazing. Hey, Brooks, we've come to the end of another insightful and exciting interview with you. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today to talk about this. And for those of you out there, you can learn more about Brooks at his website, BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com. There's a lot of good books there. I am actually reading some of the Legacy of Iron books right now at night before I go to sleep.
Oh, great.
Yeah, great stuff. I mean, I have to tell you, I really love your writing style.
You really
spin a great story, you know, very, very, becomes very enthralling where you just kind of get wrapped up and you don't want to stop reading. You have a real talent. It's amazing. Anyway, go to brookscubic.com and check it out. Brooks, thanks so much for being on the show today, brother.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right. All right. When we come back, we're going to have Professor Philip Filimonov on from the UK talking about IGF-1 and mechanical growth factors and some other peptide discussions. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Many of you have been waiting for this interview. This is part two, installment two on the peptide show that we started with Professor Philip Filimonov. How you doing, Professor Filimonov?
I'm good. Nice to be back on the show.
Yeah, great. Great to have you.
Thanks, man.
Okay, so a lot of people want to know, and interestingly enough, I just got some IGF-1 Long R3 and just started using it a couple days ago. A lot of people want to know about IGF-1 Long R3. It's a very popular peptide. It's expensive, and it works with very, very small doses. 100 micrograms, 200 micrograms is all you really need. Let's talk about it. Explain to the audience what it is and why the Long R3 made a difference.
Well, IGF, you know, is a really powerful hormone that the body produces, mainly from the liver. And of course, that's produced, you know, through growth hormone, you know, through training. The reason why LR3 is just so good is because it's a chemically altered version of IGF-1, whereas IGF-1 is very short-acting, a few minutes. This version, because it's an 83 amino acid equivalent of IGF-1, with a substitution of glutamine and arginine at position 3, it means that it's biologically active far, far longer. So it's a systematic IGF rather than a localized.
How much longer? How much? Just do you have any estimations on how long IGF-1 lasts?
I think I'd be pretty accurate in saying that, you know, you're looking at it's going to be active for about 7 hours once it's injected.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Well, it is when you consider, you know, IGF, probably if you get everything spot on, your timing of normal IGF-1.
Some of the earliest research on IGF-1 was done with burn victims.
Hmm.
And they had to have a constant drip of IGF-1 in order to affect the changes that they were looking for, the burn recovery process.
Hmm.
So Long R3 really changed the landscape. Now we have an IGF-1 that lasts up to 7 hours, as you're pointing out.
Yeah.
So you can inject it twice a day, theoretically, if you wanted this IGF-1 around the clock. But it's not necessary to inject it that much, is it?
No, the way I'm using it at the moment that I find really effective is 3 days on, one off, and I find that there's no receptor downregulation, and you get stable levels of IGF. They gradually rise, your serum levels rise, and it holds it at that position really well. You know, you haven't got dangerously high spikes, which is the problem with IGF-1. You can dose it dangerously high.
Now, tell me what happens. Tell me what happens if you have dangerously high spikes of IGF-1.
Well, you can go into a coma.
Really? Because of its insulin mimetic effect?
Yeah. Well, it leaches carbohydrates all the time when it's in your system. It's searching for carbohydrates to be able to do what it does, which is repair muscle tissue. It's so anabolic, and that's pushing that into muscle tissue and into organs as well, whatever it touches. So you think that if you're using a really long-acting version, you know, IGF-LR3, that's going to be happening for 7 hours or so after you've injected. So it's really important to make sure you've got slow-release carbohydrates and fast-release carbohydrates, especially post-workout when you've depleted yourself of glycogen.
What do you think a dosing should be? And what is a dangerous dose, in your humble opinion?
Right. IGF-LR3, I think that a good dose, especially for people who have never experienced it and don't know what to expect, 40 micrograms bilaterally, so 80 micrograms altogether. So say you want to train bicep. Now, this is LR3, okay? So right. It doesn't need to be injected locally. So let's say we do it subcutaneously into fat. So you inject it straight into your fat tissue. It's a systematic effect. 80 micrograms is more than enough.
Now,
and that could be used I'm using it 3 days on, one off.
What if you just use it on training days, if you're training every... See, right now what I'm doing is I'm using 200 micrograms.
Yeah.
And I'm using it pre-workout.
Mm.
And I am with you on the concept. I want to discuss this when we come back from the first break, but... The reason that localized injection seems to be popular, we'll talk about in a minute. But what I do is I'm injecting 200 micrograms pre-workout, and then blasting through my workout, then having my post-workout meal. I have a pre-workout meal too, by the way.
Hmm.
And I'm only using it on training days, which right now is every other day. Is this not a well thought out protocol, do you think?
I think that with the LR3, because it's so versatile, that will work. I think if you were going to use DES or you're going to use normal IGF-1, I think there would be a totally different kettle of fish there. But I think that what you're doing, you're using 200 micrograms bilaterally or 100 micrograms bilaterally.
Well, I'm not even doing bilaterally. I'm not doing spot. I used to do spot specific. And let's talk about that for a second. There's a lot of research out there that shows that during exercise, IGF-1 upregulates in muscle tissue, regardless of serum levels of IGF-1. So it was always thought that if you, at least I did, that if you inject your IGF-1 LONGR3 into the working muscles or after post-workout into the worked muscles, that it would stay concentrated in there longer because there seems to be an ability for muscle tissue to produce IGF-1 on its own without serum levels changing. However, I've had some other thoughts about that. We don't know if the muscle tissue is just accumulating more IGF-1 in response to exercise as opposed to biosynthetically producing IGF-1 in response to exercise, in which case, if the latter is true, then systemic delivery should be effective because it'll accumulate in the working muscles. Do you have any theories on this at all, whether it actually occurs in the muscle or it just accumulates in the muscle?
Well, you've got receptors, haven't you, all over the body. You've got some in each muscle. And I think to some degree, less so with RGF-1 LR3 because it's a systematic delivery of the actual peptide. I think, though, you are going to get some localized muscle-building effects. But I've got to be honest, I really don't, personally, I don't agree with using RGF-1 LR3 post-workout. I think before, yeah, it was a good way of using it, but I think now it could be used differently. I just think that it blunts mechanical growth factor too much when used post-workout.
Oh, really?
I think there's the thing with LR3, because it's so long-lasting, you know, the effects of it are going to last for a long period. So it could blunt growth hormone release, which is what you get straight after training, yeah? And remember that when you train, IGF is naturally produced in the liver as a result of growth hormone metabolism in the presence of insulin. So muscle tissue can produce IGF-1 anyway. It's an intracellular response. So if you've got IGF-LR3 circulating around the system, you can inhibit your body's own methods of producing IGF-1. Do you get me?
Yeah. So the negative feedback. So you feel, yeah, pre-workout is the best way to use it?
I think with IGF-LR3, pre-workout is the only way to go. And I think that with IGF-DES, I think during workout is the only way to go.
Okay.
I can't see how possibly it can work any other way, effectively.
Before we go into the break, what is your opinion of the theory that either A, muscle tissue produces it as a result of exercise, or B, that it just seems to accumulate in the working muscles to a greater degree? What, do you have an opinion of that at all?
I think it's a bit of both. I think that when you train, you know, you're going to get some, your liver's going to release two kinds of IGF. It's got its own mechanical growth factor it releases IGF-1. And yes, because you get localized amounts in the muscle as well that's actually being damaged and being trained, you're burning carbohydrates, aren't you? And then as your growth hormone secretion is increased, you're going to get localized IGF-1 levels. So I think it's a mixture of the both.
Do you think that there truly is any value to injecting bilaterally in the vicinity of the worked muscle, or the muscles that will be worked? So in other words, if you want a response in your biceps, you can shoot your half of your dose sub-Q into the skin surrounding the bicep. Do you think there's any value to that?
Well, I've done intramuscular and subcutaneous, you know, on my arms. I have noticed a difference, even with the long-acting version. But you're going to get far more benefit from a short-acting version like this because it's not going to have a chance to circulate the body. It's going to be in the vicinity of the muscle, so you're going to get far more effect from a short-acting version.
Right. So, in summary, using the long-acting, the LR3, you can inject it in a depot in sub-Q, like in your stomach, pre-workout, and it'll do the job that you need it to do while you're working out.
Yeah, I think 2 o'clock in the afternoon, on days you're not working out and on days you are, pre-workout, you're going to get really good effects like that, 100, 200 micrograms. But for a beginner, I wouldn't go above 80 micrograms just to see how they respond.
Okay. Well, we're going to go right into the break after this. Why 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Well, your cortisol levels are at the high around then, aren't they?
Yes.
And you can, if you're using IGF, it's going to blunt the cortisol rise to some degree.
Is that right?
So it's the thing like growth hormone. People often inject growth hormone, don't they? You know, 2 p.m. in the afternoon because it's going to blunt cortisol to some degree.
Right.
You get far more uptake then from the growth hormone, the same with the IGF.
Right. Okay. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Professor Philip Filimonov. We're talking about IGF-1 LONGR3 right now. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about mechanogrowth factors. And then I've got some questions for the professor as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today, opresource.net. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects: estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
I've been watching you a la 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 long, a la 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 long, longly long, long, long. Come on.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Professor Philip Filimonov. We're talking about peptides again. Yes, the magic of peptides. Gotta love them. Okay, so we went into the break talking more about IGF-1, LONGR3. What other points should we cover about IGF-1, LONGR3? First of all, the diluent. A lot of people like to use acetic acid for these peptides, but I've found that sodium chloride bacteriostatic solution is just as effective. It'll keep the peptide intact for about 2 weeks. You have any theories or preferences on this?
Yeah, actually, I used to use acetic acid, and I used to absolutely hate the burning. In fact, I know a guy who passed out really badly with the pain and ended up breaking the needle off into his sciatic nerve. I think the best thing that I found personally is I use benzyl alcohol bacteriostatic water.
Okay.
I reconstitute and I put it in the fridge, and the alcohol prevents it from freezing. In the freezer, sorry.
Oh.
The alcohol prevents it from freezing. 6 months is good to go.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, I've never heard that one. That's a good one. The normal aliquots is 1 milligram. Mm. So if people are using an average of 100 micrograms per workout, easily that should last them a couple weeks.
Yeah.
In the freezer, what's the shelf life before it's reconstituted? Any opinions?
Before it's reconstituted, I can't, as long as it's not shaken around or damaged, There's a few studies. One of them says 2 years, another one says 18 months. I think, you know, as long as it's kept dark and as long as it's kept cold, I think that, you know, 18 months is probably an optimal period.
And what is your opinion of when reconstituting all of the stuff that I use? As soon as I use a 3cc syringe with a 27 gauge needle just to reconstitute, so I don't have to keep using insulin syringes over and over again.
Yeah.
And when I pop that sucker in, the vacuum in that bottle is so strong it just pulls the diluent right out of the syringe. Then I've seen some people where there's no vacuum in the bottle at all. Do you have an opinion on the vacuum? Is it important? Does it really show a quality of the product?
Yeah, definitely. If you haven't got vacuum, it's not going to be stable because air is going to just destroy the IGF compound.
Okay.
The other thing is that if you're putting the needle in and it's shooting straight into the solution, the peptide, you've already made it unstable. The best way to do it is to let it trickle down the side of the glass slowly into the actual solution at the bottom.
You know, I've always wondered about that. I've wondered about the splashing of it into that. So you really are damaging the peptide when you do that, don't you?
You are. In fact, you probably lose about 90% if it happens heavily.
I aim it at the glass side, but it still rushes into the bottle quickly. So I guess I should keep my finger against the plunger and slow it down.
Slow it down. It takes me 10 seconds to reconstitute. I put 1 mil in with 1 milligram
right.
of BA water, and it takes me about 10 to 15 seconds to reconstitute, trickling down the glass.
So it is true. Now, the next question is, what about just pushing it and pulling it through the insulin syringe? Doesn't that damage the peptide?
Well, no, because the needle is so small, and you're not hitting the peptide. It's not being forced into an unstable movement. It's just gently being pulled in. You're not shaking the thing, are you?
Okay.
You just gently turn it upside down, push a little bit of air into the vial to produce a vacuum, and then suck the insulin out. But shaking, dropping, or exposing it to light or heat is just going to totally ruin the peptide.
Is it important that the peptide be a solid disc at the bottom? I've noticed that GHRPs generally come as crumbles of particles, but... IGF-1,
they're much more
like,
stable, see?
It does, huh?
Yeah, GHRPs, GHRHs, they're very stable compounds, but IGF, the same as HGH, is very, very iffy to deal with. It should be vacuumed, and it should be, as you say, like a disc at the bottom.
Okay. All right, so let's talk a little bit about mechanogrowth factor now, which is yet another of the properties of the growth factors that are metabolites from growth hormone. MGF is becoming very popular. What does MGF do? IGF-1 obviously is anabolic. Is MGF really strength building?
It's actually an amazing peptide, actually, mechanogrowth factor. It's probably, some people would know it as IGF-1E with a small c. It's a growth factor, repair factor, and it's derived from exercised or damaged muscle tissue. So MGF is what we know it as because it's not such a mouthful, mechanogrowth factor.
Right.
And as you're saying about, it's very important because it activates muscle stem cells, increases upregulation of protein synthesis, and it can rapidly improve recovery and speed up muscle growth. And it also initiates muscle satellite stem cell activation, which is, you know, incredible, really. You
right.
can really change a muscle's appearance with MGF.
Oh, it that's exactly what people hope to happen with myostatin. So let's talk about this for a second. MGF, is it a long-acting peptide like IGF-1 long R3, or does it have a very short half-life in the body?
If it's not pegylated, so if it's not got polythene glycol attached, then you're talking about between 5 and 7 minutes. And it needs to be used immediately post-workout, as it won't work if muscle tissue hasn't been damaged.
Okay, so if you're using the pegylated version, which is a longer-acting version, how long does that last in the body?
Well, then, again, you're talking between 5 and 7 hours.
Okay. If you're using the pegylated version, is it important to use it site-specific in the muscles that you want to respond, or is it adequate to just do a depot in your belly, for instance?
You can just... Now, this is what I found worked best. I've experimented with MGF. If you're using the short-acting version, it has to be local in the muscles you've just trained. Otherwise, it doesn't do anything, and it's extremely anabolic when used like that. But with pegylated MGF, which is far more versatile, like IGF-LR3, if you use it the day after training, so remember that your liver produces its own mechano growth factor.
Right.
It produces two kinds, a fast-acting version and a slower, less anabolic version. The first type is IGF-1EC. The second type is IGF-IEA. And if you inject pegylated MGF straight after training, you blunt your own production of mechano growth factor. So if you use it the day after, what are you doing? You're opening up the anabolic window of muscle recovery, cell synthesis, protein synthesis, nitrogen retention, and stem cell, satellite cell activation. So you're basically, you're increasing the body's ability to recover. You're opening up the anabolic window for another day, the day after training.
Wow. That's interesting. Never knew that. What are the doses for MGF if you're using pegylated?
If you're using pegylated, it's very economical. 200 micrograms to 400 micrograms injected 3 times a week on non-workout days. And you can inject straight into fat, like you said.
Now, you said on long workout days or the day after a long workout day?
Day after, so non-workout days.
I'm sorry, okay.
Sorry, so, no, it's my pronunciation.
So 2 to 400 micrograms on non-workout days. Interesting. Now, I never knew that. I never knew that you would use it on non-workout days. That advice right there is worth the price of admission. Fantastic.
I was just going to say, just to add something to that, the reason is because it only works when muscles have been damaged. So you allow your own liver to do the repairing work the day of the training, and then the next day, while it's still damaged, you then go through the whole process again with a synthetic variant. So you get
double the effects of that workout, basically.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, MGF, does this also come in 1 milligram aliquots?
I think that currently is sold in 2 milligram.
2 milligram. Hmm. And so you would use your IGF-1 pre-workout, your long R3.
Yeah.
You would use your MGF the day after your workout. Now,
yeah,
using this type of a protocol, Professor Filimonov, what can people expect, assuming that they're getting legitimate peptides here? What can people expect to see?
If you're using them legitimately, you know, you've got the real thing. I think you should be expecting about a 4-pound increase in muscle mass over a 4-week period.
Really?
And roughly the same in fat loss, because remember, you're getting nutrient repartitioning effects. You're getting far better insulin response because IGF actually improves insulin sensitivity. And of course, you're getting nitrogen retention, you're getting protein synthesis and satellite cell activation. The muscle dies without, because it's a very special muscle tissue. If you haven't got MGF being released by the liver, the muscle dies. And then if you're repairing it through your body's own way of working, then you would add the next day pegylated MGF. Plus you've got the IGF and the day of the workout. You've got a really fantastic synergistic stack for muscle growth and recovery. I don't actually think there's anything better than that on the
market. I was just going to say, you know, the reality is that a lot of people who are thinking about using anabolic steroids, which are true sex hormone, generally interpreted type drugs. This may be a better alternative for so many reasons. Most importantly, you use an insulin syringe, which generally the needle is the size and thickness of an eyelash. So those of you who are afraid to utilize these types of things because you have to inject, there's nothing to injecting a small fold of fat at the waistline with these products. We're going to take our next commercial break, Professor Filimonov. When we come back, I want to talk to you about some other stacks and also some questions we got some listeners last time we did our show. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We're talking today with Professor Philip Filimonov about IGF-1 and MGF. You can get your IGF-1 and MGF pegylated at opresource.net and save 25% off when you use the coupon code Superhuman25, SUPERHUMAN, the number 2, the number 5. Check them out. We'll be right back. Ja, ich bin Kuba und du stehst Araba. Mit dem Sektglas in der Hand, wunderbar. Ich
muss es einfach hingehen.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaheLer.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We are very fortunate to have Professor Philip Filimonov. That's a mouthful, Phil. To say quickly, on the show, all the way from across the pond in the UK, talking about peptides. All right, I've got some questions. We've discussed the protocols to use IGF-1 and MGF. I think we've answered a lot of questions. If anybody has additional questions, send them to onair@superhumanradio.com, and we'll get Professor Filimonov to discuss them in a later show. I have some questions about some of the things we talked about in the past and some personal experiences. First of all, we have a question from a listener who will remain unnamed, but you know who you are, who wanted to know. She said, "I'm trying to convince my husband that Melanotan 2 is safe to use. Is there any proof that it is safe to use?" I answered her and said, I'll have Professor Filimonov answer that question, but I have to believe it's safe to use because it's a naturally occurring peptide in your body already. It's not something foreign to your body. It's something that your body produces on its own. Am I off base on that?
Well, yeah, your body is, it produced melanocortin, and that's what gives you your coloring. But when she says safe, what you actually define as safe, what she's looking at as regards size, like, it's safe to use. It's not going to do anything to your nervous system or to your health. It's not going to give you high blood pressure or affect cardiac performance, but it can increase the amount of freckles or moles that you have on your skin, which, of course, eventually, if you're out in the sun a long time, could perhaps increase your chances of skin cancer.
Really? Interesting.
Well, the more that you have, is, you know, it's a proven fact, isn't it, that, you know, they are more sensitive to the sun.
Yeah. You know what's really amazing to me? And I want to talk about PT-141 because we talked about this in the last show, the one true aphrodisiac, which, first of all, it works. I had a 10-milligram bottle of PT-141, and over the course of a weekend, I ended up using almost the whole 10 milligrams. Well, lo and behold, I got tan. I didn't expect to get tan from PT-141 like you do from melanotan. I did not experience the nausea that I experienced from melanotan, interestingly enough. But I did get tan. Can you explain that? Is there some, you think that there's some residual melanotan in there, or do you think PT-141 in high doses has the ability to tan you?
I think, well, it's the same, isn't it? It's a cyclic hepopeptide lactam analog of alpha melanocyte stimulating hormone. So you've still got that basic structure to it, even though it's got far more effect on the central nervous system as regards activating the melanocortin receptors there. Maybe because of the high dose you were using, and it may be that you're particularly sensitive.
I think I am. You know what? I'm very dark.
You've got Italian heritage, haven't you?
What's that?
You've got Italian heritage.
Yes, I'm Italian and Southern Italian. I'm very dark. In fact, I'm so dark that I was out to dinner the other night, and a gentleman that was at dinner actually asked me what color I was, because he thought maybe I was mulatto, you know, or that I had some African-American blood in me. And I said, well, you're right. I do have African-American. I says I have African blood because I'm Southern Italian. And we were invaded by the Moors how many times, you know, from Ethiopia. And when you invade a country back in those days, you killed the men and you raped the women to proliferate your gene pool. So I said, absolutely. But interestingly enough, when I use any of those things, melanotan or PT-141, I become so dark so fast that it's shocking.
Yeah, you probably just got a lot of those melanocortin receptors that are very, very, you've got a lot of affinity for any kind of peptide like the melanotide that you take or melanocortin.
Now, I will say the PT-141 absolutely increases libido. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. In fact... There's a term used in rats, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but you know, when they test rats with these types of things, the rats, when they start to stretch and yawn over and over again, it's because they're becoming aroused. And I noticed that when I used the PT-141, I had this constant feeling that I wanted to just stretch and like stretch my torso and stretch my arms out, this stretching feeling. There's a name for it, and I looked it up, and I can't think of what it is right this second. But it's an actual phenomenon that occurs when libido is increased.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I suppose as your body's getting ready, I suppose, to proliferate.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, PT-141 absolutely works. Some of you may get tan from it. I like PT-141 better than melanotan now because I can work on my tan without the nausea. So there you go. That's just me.
Interesting.
All right. What about peptide blending? Let's say you've got two peptides. Let's say you've got GHRP6 and CJC1295, and you're about to, and you've used an adequate diluent so that you can achieve a volume or a dose volume that you could actually put your whole dose in one syringe. Let's say it ends up being 40 units of CJC1295, and you know another 20 units of GHRP. Six, so you've got 100 unit insulin syringe, so you're going to go in one bottle and pull up four. You go in the other bottle, you pull up to two, you're at the 60 mark. Can you inject them, or do they, once you put them together in the same syringe, do they hurt each other? Do they blend well? Do they play nicely?
Yeah, there won't be any cross contamination or any splicing. They're own separate entities, so to speak. So you've got, if you wanted to inject, say, GHRP6, which is a really synergistic stack with CJC1295, you could inject them, say, however many milligrams you wanted together at the same time in one syringe. So you could put 200 micrograms of GHRP6 with the GHRH CJC, both 200 micrograms, and inject it three times a day like that, and you're not going to get any splicing or changing in the way that either works. Okay. They're totally synergistic.
Okay. All right. So now let's go back just for a second with IGF-1 and MGF obviously you're not taking those at the same time, but if for some reason you were, on your off day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to take your IGF-1 and you're going to go ahead and just use the MGF-2 because it's your off day. Can you put them both in the same syringe once again and inject them?
No, because IGF has got so much affinity strength as regards binding to receptors that the MGF just isn't going to get a look in. You're totally losing out on the effect of MGF if you use them together, especially if you use the long-acting version.
So that's very important. So that means that if you're planning on If you're planning on using your IGF-1 long R3 on a non-workout day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then you probably should use your MGF earlier in the day, before the IGF is starting to circulate in your bloodstream. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, and make sure that the IGF isn't too close to nighttime because it'll blunt your GH release. It's, you know, really, you should never dose them on the same day, unless you're using IGF-DES, and then it's fine because it's a short-acting version and very, very powerful, 10 times more powerful than LR3.
Which one is ten times more powerful?
IGF-DES.
Is that the short-acting one you mean?
Yeah, that's to give you a lowdown, it's the protein that's been isolated from bovine colostrum. It's a truncated version of IGF-1. It's got an N-terminal deletion of the tripeptide glyproglutidine, and it's got a post-translational cleavage of IGF-1. What it actually means is it binds less well to IGF-binding proteins, but is much better actually hitting the cell itself, so it's 10 times more potent than IGF-1. Stimulating hypertrophy and proliferation of cells.
And what is this called again?
That's IGF-1 DES. DES.
DES.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And now that's produced naturally by your body as well, DES, only a very small amount, but it's your most powerful and anabolic IGF that your body can produce.
Wow. I never even heard of it. Look, I'm learning by listening to my own show. This is wonderful.
It's crazy stuff, the DES. Because you know the lactic acid destroys IGF-1 that's present in muscles that are being trained. But DES is amazing because it actually binds even stronger to muscles that have got lactic acid buildup. So if you used it during the workout, the effects are just crazy.
Wow. Now, talking about, I just had a question that just jumped out of my head. Talking about IGF-1 and MGF and these products, clearly, you're using your IGF-1 on training days and your MGF on non-training days. It sounds like that's the best protocol to work with.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Unless you're using the short-acting version of IGF, then you could... Even then, it's still the best protocol.
Okay, all right. And not to use your IGF-1 too late in the day. 2 o'clock in the afternoon is the latest that they should use it on the days that... If you are using IGF-1 on non-training days, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Is there any best time to use your MGF? Should you use it first thing in the morning on a non-training day, or should you wait till in the afternoon?
Well, because it's another variant of IGF-1, any variant of IGF, because they're secreted by the liver, it's going to affect your own body's production of insulin and growth hormone. So you get your big pulse of growth hormone at night, and you also get a small amount in the morning when your cortisol and prolactin levels are quite high. The best time to use MGF would probably be about midday again, 2 o'clock. So that's for the pegylated version.
Right. Okay. All right. The 2 o'clock seems to be the magic time. We're going to go ahead and take our last commercial break, Professor Filimonov. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about stacking growth hormone with GHRP6. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Professor Filimonov all the way from the UK. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more.
more about where you can find Test Charge today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's OPResource.net. At OPResource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm over at the opresource.net website right now. They've got pegylated mechanogrowth factor in 2 milligram aliquots for $26 a vial. And Superhuman Radio listeners who are looking to use these products for research save an additional 25% off of that. So cut, take a quarter of that off. I mean, it's ridiculous. When you use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, S-U-P-E-R-H-U-M-A-N 25, you just heard Professor Filimonov say that pegylated MGF can put some serious muscle on you by using it the day after your workout. I mean, this is really something. Growth hormone releasing peptide 6, GHRP6, $24 for 5 milligrams. IGF-1 long R3 is expensive, but it's very expensive to make, isn't it, Professor Filimonov?
Yeah, it's a very, very complicated, but also the other thing is because it's the actual peptide is so fragile. So there's a lot of
waste.
Work involved, yeah.
A lot of waste. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about this for a second. What... And then I've got some other questions I'm going to ask about what we've been talking about. But what is your opinion of stacking growth hormone with GHRP6 to get a more pronounced effect?
Well, I think that the best way of doing it for anybody who's sort of between 20 and 40 years of age would be to use the growth hormone in the morning. However many IUs you want to use, I don't believe in breaking it up. And I don't think it's a good idea to use it before bed, because it will stunt your own growth hormone production.
Right.
And then to use the GHRP, which is a growth hormone releasing peptide, before bed, because that's going to stimulate growth hormone release.
Okay. But when you use it before bed, you have to use a small dose, because it can also stimulate cortisol production. So
yeah.
What would be a
intelligent dose of GHRP6 before bed?
Now, if you're using GHRP6 because of its appetite-stimulating properties, and carbs and fats blunt growth hormone release, I think that you're going to be looking at a very, very small amount, probably less than 100 micrograms. It's probably the worst one to use before bed, actually.
GHRP2 would be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because it induces sleep and rapid eye movement as well. It helps a much deeper sleep. The other one, of course, would be ipamorelin, because there's no rise in cortisol there or prolactin from ipamorelin.
Oh, so that would be a good one to use before bed.
Yeah, perfect.
And that's available for $28 a bottle at OP Resource.
That's a crazy deal, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm looking at these things and I'm thinking, my God, why aren't more people turning to this stuff in the anti-aging community? I mean, why bother with a prescription for growth hormone when your doctor doesn't want to give you one and the cost involved, when you can get a vial of GHRP6 for $24? That's 5 milligrams. Mm. If you're just using 200 micrograms, 300 micrograms a day across maybe one or two doses, look at the cost factor of that over the course of a month. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You save a lot of money.
Save a lot of money, and you get, and you know what? Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale once told me that that HGH, while it has its benefits, has a drawback. And one of the major drawbacks is that your body, your pituitary, pulses so many different types of variants of growth hormone as opposed to just the 191 amino acid peptide that is sold for growth hormone deficiency. Getting your pituitary to upregulate its own production is a much better alternative than frank growth hormone injections. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I think that that's a really fair statement, especially for the younger person. I don't see there's any reason for a person under the age of 40 really to be using growth hormone, because these peptides, they're so effective. You know, you've got your growth hormone releasing hormones like CJC plus your growth hormone releasing peptides, combining them together, you get your body to produce its own kind of hormone, growth hormone, in the regular pulses it would normally go through. You're not blunting anything, you're just provoking a greater increase of the amount of growth hormone released.
Now, the next question I'm going to ask you, you may not be prepared for, but, and if not, that's fine, but it's something that I've been experimenting with. I've been taking my GHRP6 injections with 10 grams of BCAA on an empty stomach first thing in the morning. And I've been taking my IGF-1 long R3 injection pre-workout with 10 grams of BCAAs. Again, my pre-workout meal was about an hour prior to that. So what is your opinion of stacking these growth factors? Because the way I think about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, the growth factors are kind of like the brick masons, and the BCAAs are kind of like the bricks and mortar. The brick masons can't build many walls if they don't have bricks and mortar, and if the bricks and mortar don't have brick masons to set them and align them, they can't build, but together they build walls. So the BCAAs, in my opinion, are kind of like the bricks and mortar, and these peptides are kind of like the brick masons. What is your opinion of that statement? Am I really off base?
No, I think you actually, there's nothing wrong at all with putting BCAAs with any of the peptides, because as you say, your body's going to use the isoleucine, the valine, the leucine to build muscles. It's exactly what your body needs, and you're giving it at the right time. You've got peptides being pumped into your system. They're causing an increase in either the amount of growth hormone being released or an increase of IGF, whether it's a synthetic form or not. And so your muscles and other parts of your body are going to be craving the building blocks you just spoke of. Well, they're going to be readily available because you've just taken some. So they're not going to blunt the GHRP. They're not going to blunt the IGF. They're just going to help work in synergy with it.
Excellent. So for once, I've got it right. Good idea. There you go. Well, for once in a while, I get it right. And you know what? I have to plug one of my sponsors. True Protein has the best BCAAs. They use the Ajinomoto BCAAs, which I throw them in my mouth and just drink them down with water. They don't float. They're not superfluous where you have to worry about like them being vaporous and breathe them into your lungs. And if you mix it with a beverage, they disappear. Most BCAAs I've used in the past, they float on top of the solution. So check out True Protein and check out their BCAAs. Very, very inexpensive. One last question, and then we're going to end the interview.
Okay.
We hear about the recombinant process, and we hear about the way they use the bacteria to create these peptides, like growth hormone and CJC and so on. Can you just briefly give us a dumbed down explanation on how they use bacteria to assemble these long peptides?
Well, let's take, like, say it's IGF-1, for example. These are bacteria that they produce in an isolated sterile solution. They add bovine colostrum, brain and porcine uterus as example, and then the bacteria reacts and it causes a growth of the IGF-1. That's basically what happens. It's obviously far more complicated than that, because
right.
The bacteria has to be fed, etc., and everything has to be done in the perfect heat. It has to be done in exactly the right conditions, otherwise there can't be any isolation of the peptide or the hormone that they're after.
Now, how do they wash, for lack of better terms, the bacteria out of this final process so that we're not injecting residual bacteria?
It goes through a multi-phase sterile filtration process, and gradually the filter gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So the bacteria are far heavier than the peptides or
so
the hormones.
I was going to say, we're talking about a molecular sieve process,
yeah.
In other words. Interesting. Very, very interesting. So once the bacteria is rid, then the lyophilized powder is then frozen? Is that what happens?
Yeah, freeze-dried, yeah. That's normally the way that it goes. Actually, you've touched on something that's really, really important for people who buy peptides. Buy from a legit source. Don't buy overseas, because I've seen numerous cases of people getting really bad red welts where they've injected. One person even got hepatitis. This can all happen from bad versions and poor purchases online. You want to get from a legit source with pure powders. Some of the ones that you'd buy overseas, they're only 68% purity. They haven't been correctly sterilized, and so there's great danger there involved.
Well, you know, it's interesting you should say that, because I read a study about 8 or 9 years ago that promoted the supposition that it is the aggregate, which is what you're talking about, the stuff that the byproducts that are in there when you have low purity peptides. It is the aggregates that you inject that causes your body to create an autoimmune response.
Yeah.
And you can actually build up a resistance to your own growth hormone when you use growth hormone that has a lot of aggregate in it, because the body's response is to attack those foreign peptides and get them out of the body, and the body starts attacking all of the growth hormone, and then even if you're not using growth hormone, it rejects your own growth hormone.
Yeah.
So it really is critical that you buy from legitimate sources. There's no doubt about that.
Exactly, man.
Hey, listen, we've come to the end of the interview. If you have questions for Professor Filimonov, send them to me at onair@superhumanradio.com and just put the subject line peptide in it, and I will gather these, and we'll have Professor Filimonov up back on the show next time he has a break in his schedule from teaching. I want to thank you. We've had a lot of near misses having you on the show. How is your daughter, by the way? How is your daughter?
Yeah, she's really good, thanks. Everything's cool. Yeah, okay. Thanks so much for that.
Yeah, okay.
I just want to say really a huge thanks to you for having me back on the show, especially after some of the problems I've caused.
You haven't caused any problems. This is natural scheduling problems. There's no problems at all. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Well worth the wait. Well worth the
Thank you so much, Carl. Real pleasure to be on the show. It's a real honor for me.
I'd also like to plug one other thing for you. Professor Filimonov does blend. What's the word I'm looking for? Formulate for companies that are looking for novel supplements. How can people reach you if they want to reach you, if they're interested in having you formulate a supplement for their company?
Russian Star, NeedToBuildMuscle.net. I'm there all the time. Just send me a PM. I've been contacted by one or two companies. I'm always there, and we can go through anything. But thanks very much, man. I really appreciate
that. Yeah, NeedToBuildMuscle.net, and look for Russian Star if you're looking for someone to formulate a product for you. Okay, Professor Filimonov, thanks so much.
Thank you, too. Thanks very much, my friend.
My pleasure.
Really great to be on the show.
And we'll have you back. We'll have you back.
Thank you. All the best.
All the best to you, too. Okay, so that's the end of the show today. We will have another exciting show for you tomorrow. And we also want to thank Brooks Kubik for being on the air with us today and teaching us how to build bigger calves. We'll see you tomorrow.